May 31st, 2009, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It's Jeff Robbins. This week on the podcast, we've got a Drupal round table. Exciting round table. We're going to be talking with some design oriented people in the Drupal community about design in Drupal and what it takes to be a themer, what the concerns are, kind of what Drupal wants to do with design and how to wrangle it. We actually have a new theming DVD at Lullabot. If you go to store.lullabot.com, we've got Drupal Theming Basics is a download version is available now. The DVD will be available in a few weeks. But if you want to download, there's a high-resolution download you can download there. And as I said, soon we'll have the pre-order for the DVD. Our views and CCK videos have been selling really well. We still also have the Understanding Drupal video up there, basic sort of overview of Drupal. And the other sales portion of the podcast is we have workshops coming up in Providence, Rhode Island. It's the June 8th through the 12th. We have two workshops happening that week. Drupal module development is June 8th and 9th. And the second half of that week, we have Drupal theming and jQuery, June 10th, 11th, and 12th. You can find out all about those and any other training that we're doing at lullabot.com/training. The weekend immediately following that is Drupal Design Camp up in Boston. So if you're going to Design Camp and you want to get a couple of days of Drupal sort of more formal training, come to our thing. And if you're coming to our thing and you want to stick around and go to Boston, do that. So, all right, well, let's get into this round table discussion and talk to our experts. So here it is, the Drupal Design Round Table. We've all got our big swords and robes and... Morton, I understand you have a big pitcher of mead. what are we drinking? Medieval drinks and
I'm looking into a Simcoe single hop IPA from a local brewery. So that's what kings are drinking.
Right.
I'm drinking the elixir of life.
Well, who's drinking Miller Lite should leave this table right now.
Let's go around our room and introduce everybody who we have here. We've got people from literally
Miller Life. I said elixir of life.
I guess the definition of a round table is I just can't control the room. So we have people from all over the globe here today. Let's just go through alphabetical order by last name, starting with Colleen Carroll from Chicago. Colleen works for Palantir and is a themer extraordinaire who has basically graduated into a management position. And are you still doing much theming, Colleen?
Here and there. I wish I was doing more, but basically I just tell John and the rest of my team what to do.
She's gotten so good at it, she gets to boss around other people and tell them how to do their own CSS. Figure it out. I don't know. You don't have to worry about IE anymore. You can hire people to do that. Nate Haug, a regular on the podcast from Lullabot. Nate's kind of our resident design guy who also jumps over the fence and does crazy things like the web form module.
Greetings all.
But Nate is usually up at the front of the class when we do our theming workshops and jQuery stuff, and he'll be doing that in Providence in a couple weeks. Morton, how do I begin to describe Morton Hyde? Morton, also known as Morton DK. Also known as the King of Denmark, sort of the human embodiment of the party, particularly at DrupalCon.
That was a blast.
And Morten's kind of been sort of the design guy for Drupal for a long time now, right? I mean, like.
I guess so. Don't know if I'm the best design guy. I think I'm just the guy who's making the most noise about it and screaming out on a bunch of developers saying, "Hey, you should do it our way instead of your ways," and getting my ass kicked off it. But oops, sorry about that.
the squeaky wheel. Morten lives in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Yep.
And he is, in fact, the king of Denmark. So we understand from a distance. we've got Susan McPhee is a Boston-based human being who is organizing the design for Drupal Camp. When's that happening, Susan?
Hi. It's happening on June 13 and 14 this year at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
MIT.
Yeah.
And Susan, you're actually relatively... in the grand scheme of things, relatively new to the Drupal world.
Relatively new.
But you've come in and made quite a splash. One of those new omnipresent people. Who is that Susan McPhee? She's everywhere.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. We're having a lot of fun right now organizing the Drupal Design Camp. And I design t-shirts for the camp. And we're staying pretty busy. But yeah, hopefully... planning on learning a lot more of theming in Drupal from the camp, so let's hope that works out. Or maybe I'll just be running around with my head cut off. Who knows?
It'll be fun. I get it. You're organizing the Drupal camp so you can learn about theming. It's good. I started a podcast so I could learn about Drupal. So
that's pretty clever.
last, but certainly not least, John Albin Wilkins, who's been interviewed on the Lullabot podcast in the past. Who came in and took over the Zen theme from me and turned it into a whole wonderful framework for building themes and has sort of, I don't know, done a lot to just sort of revolutionize theming in Drupal. And John, you're where are you specifically now?
I'm in Taipei, Taiwan.
Taipei. You are, in fact, in Taipei. Right on.
Yes.
And so for reference, right now it's 1:30 where I am,
it's 1:30 here too.
New York, Boston time. John, it's 1:30 AM tomorrow morning. So,
yes.
let's see. I mean, I wanted to get together a group of people to sort of talk about the concept of design relative to Drupal. There was a lot of talk, particularly at DrupalCon in DC. About design. Maybe I wouldn't call it an uprising.
A revolution. But
there were some pitchforks and there was a little bit of fire. Yeah, maybe a revolution is probably a good way to put it. especially with the Design for Drupal camp coming up in Boston in a couple of weeks, I don't know. I wanted to just sort of start a discussion about what designers are looking for and what they're getting and not getting in Drupal these days, how Drupal can be better, and what maybe even just sort of what designers can understand a little bit better about Drupal. I'm going to start with a really super generalized question and see anybody feel free to jump in with an answer on this. But maybe we should start by sort of defining what is theming. When we talk about theming in Drupal, what does that mean?
I think in DC, one good question and one good answer came out of that after we've been discussing for like 2 hours. That everything that's going on down in the theming folder is theming. So everything that works down in that specific folder is the theming work. So everything from behaviors to HTML to the CSS to the design to the implementations is actually theming. So it's kind of a you know, a two-headed monster. It's one part of development, one part of HTML, one part of design, and pretty much almost everything and nothing besides not doing SQL. Is that imprecise enough?
don't do SQL, but everything else. I mean, I guess I think let's assume that a person who's listening is just a designer and really doesn't know much about Drupal. What happens in those theme folders?
Well, I'd say I've got a ready answer for this, having taught the courses on theming. But you can define it in terms of like the process that you go through to actually make a theme. You've generally got the three steps where you're going to be doing the design first. So that's your Photoshop, your fireworks, the person that's actually laying out what is the site going to look like. And then from there, they're going to be doing the slicing, cutting it up, doing the CSS and HTML, and making a page that looks like what their website will ultimately look like, but it's completely non-functional. So just complete HTML mock-up. And then the third part of the whole theming process, actually making Drupal output that same HTML as your mock-up.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you can just arbitrarily come up with any HTML, any design, and make Drupal output that?
Right. Yep. And that's sort of the key part of the whole process, because everyone's like, oh yeah, I have fireworks. Oh yeah, slices. Yeah, yeah. Oh, what? Make Drupal output the same thing? And that's where most people, I think.
What are the skills that are required? I mean, why is it that people seem to have a hard time getting there a lot of times? I feel like for most people, they probably start with a theme like Garland and start just kind of using that as if it were a block of wood, and start sort of carving into it and trying to create their theme out of that.
I think the biggest problem conceptually for people when they first start theming in Drupal is probably the fact that, you know, our TPL template files are kind of like those Russian toy dolls where you have, you know, one inside another.
Yeah.
They're coming from, like, you know, Dreamweaver or whatever, where you've got like one HTML document, you know, that's got everything in it, and maybe you've got some like pound include stuff or something like that. But Drupal kind of works completely differently. It doesn't have any sort of pound includes per se, but specific PHP variables on your page TPL will contain, you know, all this other stuff from other TPLs. So you end up with this nesting of nesting TPLs within inside each other. So you've got, you know, your links are stuffed into the node TPL, and node TPL stuffed into a content variable, which is stuffed into the page TPL. So they don't. Once you get that, it's a lot easier, but it's hard to sort of conceptually make that leap when you're used to just one document.
Yeah, I guess that there's a lot of concepts that are just sort of different for people coming from Dreamweaver or something like that.
Just coming from plates HTML, when you first dive into redesigning a web form in Drupal, you're in for a whole new level of pain. The whole function callback, and figuring out where stuff actually came from can be kind of frustrating. I'm still getting frustrated sometimes, but not as much as I used to.
It's getting better. Baby steps.
Yeah, it's getting better.
Go ahead, Colleen.
Oh, I was going to say, to extend what John said, I think something that's even more basic than getting into the TPL files is that for designers, a big obstacle is they want a theme, they want to, you know, design a site, but Drupal is more than just sort of a site. It's a system of things that are getting pushed and pulled from all over the place, and understanding how to design a toolkit, I think, is something that a lot of designers have yet to do, and that to me is where we need to make it more understandable.
Yeah, I think that there have been steps in that direction. What are the steps that have been made over the past Well, certainly from Drupal 5 and Drupal 6, and what are we looking at in the future? What is still the maybe I should ask one question rather than eight. What have we gained recently that makes theming easier, John?
Views two
made theming easier for views. We got this whole new template .tpl.php file stuff in Drupal 6, right? That makes it easier conceptually, but you still need to understand the concept, but it makes it easier conceptually to kind of find what you want to change and drag it into your theme, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Drupal 6 theme layer is so much better than Drupal 5's. But there's a little bit of a conceptual leap there that people moving from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6 are still sort of trying to get their head wrapped around it, because there's this whole concept of sub-themes, and there's these pre-process functions, and those things make things a lot easier. You have, for example, the Zen theme is designed to be a base theme so that you create sort of sub-themes off of it. And just by creating a, sort of starter kit sub-theme that is building off of the Zen theme, you've already built, a ton of the foundation for your theme just by saying, I want it to be a sub-theme of Zen, right? And then the preprocessor allow you to modify the variables that go into your template files. That's also a huge thing. So I would say probably those two things are the biggest things that make Drupal easier to use in D6 versus D5.
It's still what are the skills that a themer needs? If we have a new designer who's worked maybe mostly in Dreamweaver or something similar in the past, we talk about these TPL files and pre-process functions and all this kind of stuff. Do they need to know PHP?
I think so. A light amount of it, anyway.
At least the basic concepts. Are there other? Other sort of esoteric knowledge? I mean, I guess the Drupal theme system sort of qualifies as some esoteric knowledge, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Someone in the Ustream channel here is saying that we've got a lot of new books now and a lot of new documentation, which just make the process easier. Even aside from improving the systems, just improving the explanation of the systems has gotten better.
Yeah, that's true. June Park, who's known as DVessel on Drupal.org, he wrote a fantastic Drupal 6 theme guide, and it's got everything you ever wanted to know in there. It's made as a reference guide, so the only bad part is it kind of reads a little bit like the HTML spec, straight from W3C. It is very dense. It's got great stuff in there. It can be a little hard to find what you're looking for. So one of the things we're working on improving is coming up with sort of tutorial-based guides to the Drupal 6 theme. So that it's more of like, oh, I want to do this. Don't make me look for the function that does it. Tell me how to do it using that function. Got the order of what you're searching for in the wrong order.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say... I mean, most people, when they get started in theming, I mean, you need a good sense of curiosity, investigative sense to actually be willing to sort of figure out where is this stuff coming from. And I think most people learn by example. They're like, okay, they usually can figure out, okay, the name of the theme I'm using is called Garland. So I'm going to go into my themes directory and I'm going to start changing stuff around in there. And I think that's so true. So that's the general starting point for people. And speaking of better documentation, that's one of the great things about the Zen theme is that Garland is completely undocumented. You open it up, there's no clue about what anything is doing or where it's coming from. But you open up the Zen theme, and it's got almost too much documentation. I mean, everything is, every single line is ridiculously documented.
I think John's waiting for you to give him some instructions for Zen Light, if I remember correctly.
The lighter for people that know what they're doing. Once you become so familiar with the theming layer, the amount of documentation in Zen becomes downright annoying. But it's fantastic that it's there. I mean, for the curious people, that's a great place to start, because it's going to tell you about where things are coming from and how to do stuff, and expansive amount of details on everything.
Yeah, I think, as you're saying, the documentation on the theming and on Drupal.org is sort of like a dictionary or a encyclopedia organized by topic of, you know, like the W3C. And I think the nice thing about the Zen theme is that it's kind of documenting it right there during the story as you're looking at it. It's explaining what it's doing. I think that a lot of people, particularly myself, I learn better in more of a sort of hands-on kind of an approach. I mean, that was certainly the approach we took with our theming videos, was, you know, pick a project and then explain the concepts in the process of building the project. And I don't know. I don't know what the books are out there on theming. I've heard really good stuff about them, about a couple of them. I mean, there's different things. You need the different references for different purposes. Morten, do you use the Zen theme?
Well, I used to use the Zen theme, but as Nathan said, that the huge amount of documentations, and I'm kind of eccentric about my HTML, so I wanted to do a lot of other things that the Zen theme wasn't doing. So I actually ended up first doing my own basic themes, and at this point, I'm actually working on a pre-theme before Zen, just to clean out all the HTML and stuff, because I was getting so annoyed about the CCK and the views and stuff. So I actually did a new theme that's actually just cleaning out HTML and doing nothing at all in the Node.tpl and PageTPL and stuff. So I kind of went that approach. Yeah, so actually now when I'm doing theming, I'm always working on three layers, actually having my mothership theme that's cleaning out everything, and my kind of Zen-ish theme that what I can build upon, and then my theme that I'm doing for the client, and then lastly merging the two themes together.
Are they actually sub themes that you do, or
this is what
are you using sub themes, or are you actually oh really, wow.
No, I'm inheriting them. So I have my mothership, and I have my first parent and my second parent. So no, second child. So I'm actually having three layers of them, and it's working for me really good. When I first dive into that, I couldn't get my head around it, but right now it cuts down my development time a lot. And that time, of course, into my mothership theme, where I try to clean out all the HTML stuff I don't want to have in inside of my Drupal sites. And then I'm using, at this point, still breaking everything up on a daily basis. So for the curious people, should try and play around with my mothership theme, and those guys who want to have something they can use should be kind of careful.
Well, I think we all sort of develop our methods and little like snippets of code that we use to just kind of clean things up into the way that we want them. I mean, to some extent, I think that John and I sort of collaborated on those kinds of things in the Zen theme. There were some things where, you know, it was just like, I don't know. Well, John, there were a whole bunch of things that Drupal didn't do before Drupal 6 that it does now. It sort of has taken from the Zen theme, but things like classes on the body to tell you whether you're on the front page or a sub-level page, CSS classes, and some other things, just sort of like making some decisions about how to output the navigational links, putting a first class on the first navigational link and a last on the last navigational link, because sometimes you'll do things like you'll want to have lines in between the links, right? And so you say, you know, put a right border on all the links, but on the last border, don't put no link, put no no border on that link, and then you've got lines between them. But without having a first and last class, you can't do that. I've been doing some theming stuff recently, and you find that stuff where you sort of curse Drupal and go, why the hell is it doing it this way? And then you know, I'm going to write this theme function and use it every time from now on. And in the process of cursing, every so often, someone will actually go back to the Drupal core and make a case for changing something and change it properly. But the nice thing is you can just change it at the theme layer.
What I've been pleased about was when I ported the Zen theme to Drupal 6, I did just a little bit of Drupal 6 coding before it came out, getting some things in there, but not a whole lot. And when I started using porting Drupal 6 version of Zen, there was all this stuff that I was like, oh, look, it's already in core, and then like rip this out, rip that out, and like I didn't submit any patches for that stuff, you know. So people are going in and seeing stuff in Zen and going, ooh, I want this in core, and then going off and doing it without even telling me,
Good. But that's the nice thing about the GPL. Feel free.
Yes, it is.
Good is good. It is. Let it float to the top. So, yeah. Susan, talk a little bit about what you're hoping that people coming to the design camp will get out of the experience. I mean, you're kind of hoping to learn stuff yourself. What are the kinds of things that you're seeing people frustrated by? It sounded like you had a little bit of frustration just launching the Drupal website for the design camp. And I'm sort of curious to know where that comes from someone who's still kind of getting up the curve on this. I want to be sure that this podcast isn't all just theming experts talking to theming experts about expert theming things. So
you want to talk to a person that's a non-expert at theming?
A regular old human being.
Chum. Yeah. Yeah, well, I do. I talk to a lot of designers, and we have a little difficulty sort of getting a grasp on how to take over the theme layer of working in Drupal. And so what we're hoping is to have a lot of sessions focusing on designing in Drupal better, starting from scratch, because a lot of projects that I've been working on, where you start off sort of jumping into working on large legacy websites where you have to sort of learn all the functionality to it. So I'm hoping that a lot of us can start off sort of small and focus on the Zen theming. Thank you, John and Jeff, and go from there. But I think if we take sort of small steps from the start, we can all learn a lot.
Are there the problem with learning Drupal is that you start to lose perspective of the stuff that you didn't know when you first started, and so it's hard to go back and make that easier for new people. Are you seeing people struggling with anything, or I don't know how to explain it other than, like, you know, there are all these concepts with Drupal, and you start just sort of tossing them around, like, oh, we'll put the blocks over here and use a preprocess function to, you know, create new variables for our theme. And all of this just sounds completely like Greek to most designers. And are there other parts of things that designers seem to be having trouble with? I guess anybody here could answer that. I mean, Nate, we've certainly seen a lot of people come through our workshops, and what are the things that they tend to be particularly baffled by?
I would guess the thing that they're most baffled by initially is, you know, where the heck does this HTML even coming from? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the obvious, why is there so much HTML and what do all these CSS classes do in my HTML? I didn't ask them to be there.
Let's answer that. Let's answer that question. Why is there so much beep on a Drupal HTML page? Why is there so much stuff? Like, it's got all these classes and... I mean, it seems like nothing has one class on it. Everything. I didn't even know that you could put multiple classes on an HTML element until I found this in Drupal, and it's used.
Same here.
And it's used everywhere. I mean, everything's got an ID and six classes, and there's all these nested divs inside divs, and why?
Oh yeah, baby.
You know why does Drupal do that? Can anybody answer that question?
Well, I'm guessing that it's because that Drupal thing is coming from a developer perspective, that a lot of developers think that they're actually helping us poor themers about giving us all these classes, all this HTML, because then we can just fix it in the CSS. So people who come from my background with a huge amount of knowledge of the CSS and the HTML is more or less looking down into it and say, well, normally I would just add one class to this because I don't need that all. Just the cascadians for that, because I have all my IDs pointed into this, so I don't need like four classes for every piece of CCK. I guess it's because that Drupal is still so very developer-orientated, which still is a really good thing, because in I don't know any other CMS where I can ride on the waves of huge amount of nerd power and still look like a rock star without knowing anything at all what's going on behind me.
There you go. There's the new Drupal.
Say, hey, I'm the king.
The new Drupal t-shirt. Drupal, nerd powered.
You know, I'm the complete opposite of Morton, I think.
Yeah.
I actually like the layers of crap that's coming out from Drupal from the developers. I think that what it does is it helps people who don't know a lot of HTML or know the standards or the best practices. They can rely on what some of the modules are spitting out at you and just layer in CSS to manipulate it. And that's the thing about all the multiple classes is that there is a logic to it. There's a reason why some of the classes are built the way that they are, like in Vues, for instance. There's, you know, some general classes and they slowly get more specific, and you can really theme more than one thing at a time. I think that's sort of the benefit in my eyes.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think we saw this in the Zen theme. I mean, it was like, well, just add a lot of classes, and then all anyone needs to do is use CSS. Mm-hmm. They've got access to everything on the page through CSS. But it does, I can imagine Jeffrey Zeldman getting a little uncomfortable about some of this.
Different ways of looking. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, there totally is. This is a very subject that got me into a little bit of trouble at DrupalCon DC because.
Do tell!
So, one of the great things about DrupalCon DC was that the designers and themers sort of self-organized because the amount of sessions that made it on the actual schedule for theming was quite small. Mm. And it kind of surprised the themers, like, wait a second. So we sort of self-organized and said, okay, we're going to have this whole other boff room that's just going to be, you know, usability and theming, and we're going to do that, you know, when there aren't main sessions that are doing that same topic. But that was still 2 days worth of stuff. So we all self-organized and talked to things. And one of the things that we also did was on Saturday during the code sprint, we had like basically a designer's, you know, bitch session, really. web chick Angie Byron came in there and sort of took notes and, you know, what's wrong with Drupal and how can we make it better for Drupal 7. And I was a little bit late to it, so everybody was getting into it and
we're getting
really excited about, oh, I've got to remove all these classes. And you know, Morton and a bunch of other people were talking about how they want the HTML to be a lot lighter because they want it very clean and elegant looking, sort of when you view source. And I came in there right at that time and I said, you know what? I kind of like having lots of classes. And then just did it.
didn't go well.
No.
I guess it's sort of how you look at it. I think that most people are used to an additive process, right? Dreamweaver, you start with a blank page. There's nothing there. I get the feeling that I haven't done any Rails programming, but I get the feeling that with Rails, it's an additive process. You end up with, you know, just adding what you need. You're able to build simple Web 2.0 kinds of websites. Drupal takes the other approach, which is basically to sort of give you everything, and then it's almost a subtractive process. Once you learn to control it, and you can start to look at Drupal as a little bit more of an additive process, just sort of rip out everything and kind of start from scratch. And I have a feeling that with Drupal 7, there will be a little bit more of that ability with things like the Stark theme in core and stuff like that. But it's kind of confusing for people that you sort of start with a lot of stuff and you can take things out rather than the other way around.
Right.
I was
going to keep going with that whole additive versus subtractive. It's really interesting, and I think it's part of the problem with Drupal themes and Drupal's reputation for not having a very pretty interface is the modular design of Drupal, and every module you install comes with default output. And some of them even come with things like icons and extensive amount of CSS. But the thing is every one of these modules has their own interface and their own output, and they're all doing things a little bit differently. And when the whole site's put together, you can build all the functionality and then slap a theme on top of it, and your site will be complete. A lot of the times, people aren't going to take the effort to go through and smooth out all those inconsistencies of all the default markup that came from these, 20 different modules. So you've got a site that's got inconsistent output because Drupal gave you enough that your site is functionally complete, but design-wise, it's completely lacking consistency across the board.
Well, in this modular nature also, you have to keep in mind that lots of times, if you look at each of these, if I sort of anthropomorphize the modules and themes, they don't know each other. They don't know about each other. The Drupal page doesn't know what's going to be inside of it, what's going to be on it. The block region doesn't know what blocks are going to be in it. The block template file doesn't know what blocks are going to be in it. And so it just sort of accounts for everything. It says, okay, well, I'll put a class around this because I know it's a block. And what's inside there, whether it's the login form or whether it's a Google map or anything, it could be anything inside there. And so if you just sort of look at this as like this sort of layer of things where they're kind of unaware of each other, that's kind of why it's like that. I mean, it sort of justifies it in that, if as a designer you wanted to add a CSS to all blocks, you have that, or if you wanted to add it to all Google Maps, you have that. If you wanted to add it to all login forms, you have that, and you don't need to add any classes in order to hook onto. And honestly, it's easier just doing the CSS than going in and overriding theme functions and all that kind of stuff. So, but it does seem to be sort of the difference between a new themer and a more experienced themer is this kind of ability to find and target overriding functions and stuff like that. Do any of you guys still use the theme developer tool?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even since I've started telling other people to use it so much, I've finally started using it myself.
It's one of those things you kind of point at new themers and say, "Here," and then it's like, "I don't need that. I'm experienced." But we were demoing it. We were demoing it in the. Well, we actually put up a free chapter from the new Drupal theming video. Find it on lullabot.com. And it's all about the theme developer tool. And I was watching, I recorded it. It's me. but I was watching it and I was like, that's a cool tool. I should use that more often.
Well, the thing about it is actually it gives you a really good introduction and kind of shows you what's going on in through the Drupal stuff, figuring out that, oh, it's a thing inside a menu, and that's that help function. And if you're a bit curious and you want to learn what's going on in the Drupal theme, there, it's a wonderful tool. I still have both my arms up about it. It's one of the things you should have installed in your toolbox. You should add like that to your toolbox and remove that contemplate thing. Oh, yeah. I needed to put it somewhere.
So Morten, you brought up the contemplate module, which I also wrote originally.
I think that contemplate is actually a really, really good idea, and I use it myself until that day I figured out that, oh, that's CCK fields. I can actually take that dollar content variable and split that stuff up. And the day that I figured that out, I kind of understood why people were bitching about contemplate. but it's a good learning tool.
It is a good learning tool. It wasn't really written as that. I wrote it originally as CCK is the content construction kit. The module that runs, that is sort of at the center of CCK, is called the content module. And I wanted a way to do little templates to output CCK stuff, because at the time, there wasn't an idea of formatters and output stuff. And it was really more for like RSS feeds, because when you added CCK fields, they looked god awful in an RSS feed. You could do it at your theme layer, but the RSS feed wasn't run through the theme, and I don't know if it is now. And so I wanted this way of basically templating that, and it wasn't just for the RSS feed. I'd like it kind of everywhere, but it was really theme separate. But I think a lot of people have started using it kind of as a theming tool, even though it really wasn't kind of meant as that. I don't know. Maybe we should talk about some other types of mistakes that are often made. I don't know if I would say that that contemplate is a mistake necessarily. I think that people kind of use it a little bit as a crutch sometimes, because it does make adding and rearranging the fields and the outputs of nodes a whole lot easier. There are definitely, it seems like there's sort of a minefield. We talked a little bit about opening up Garland and hacking it, which and then we sort of laughed, aha, of course don't do that. But why should people not do that? And I still think someone should create a patch for core that at the top of every page there's a PHP comment that says, do not edit this file. Do not hack this file. Because I don't think it's obvious to new people. I mean, that's how a lot of other content management systems and like PHP, BB, and stuff like that, that's how they work. Maybe we should start with that. Don't hack, in particular, don't hack Garland and some other themer mistakes. Why is hacking Garland a problem?
Well, I think that hacking any contrib theme that you download is probably not a wise idea, unless it's designed specifically saying, you know, go ahead and hack the heck out of this thing. Because you get so much more power and flexibility doing a sub-theme of a contrib download theme. And it's a lot easier to debug, for instance, you know, because if you have like weird, you're like halfway into the design and then suddenly something weird is happening and you go back to the original, you know, contrib theme that you've been, you know, hacking away at and say, oh, I see this. And they're like, oh, I don't see it. So you're kind of on your own. Bye. You know, that's not really a fun way to spend your Drupal theming time. Whereas if you have a sub-theme, then they just say, oh, well, we'll try it in the, you know, non-hacked version of it. Is it still that way? Well, then it's something you did. So then it helps you to narrow it down. a lot easier, I think.
That was certainly a thing with the Zen theme early on, was like, how are we going to support this if it's a theme that's meant to be hacked? Because people will come with like, it's not working for me. It's like, did you hack it? It's like, I don't, you know, like, how am I supposed to support? It's like, you know, how am I supposed to support your bad code? Yeah. I mean, so, but let's talk like Core and Garland in particular. I mean, is Garland a good starter theme?
Hell no.
Oh no. Oh no, no, no. It's all kinds of, no.
Why not?
So what, one of the things that we're trying to do in D7 right now is kind of make the sort of default TPLs that are in various modules, you know, be the starter kit, right? Be the starting point for everybody to build their themes upon, you know, rather than picking a particular theme that they want to base stuff on. So we're going through and cleaning up all of the TPL files that are in Core's module /whatever TPL.php. You know, that's where the TPL files are, and people don't even realize that. So there actually is a Core patch right now for all of Garland's TPLs that say, by the way, you should look at the original file of this, you know, rather than this overwritten one, it's over there. So we would like to have, you know, D7's default HTML output to be something that you could work with, which it isn't in D6. And to that point, we've actually added a new theme called the Stark theme, which all it is a .info file and a layout.css file, which just, you know, puts the left and right sidebar on the, you know, actual left and right hand sides. And all it says is, you know, use Drupal's default TPLs. There are no theme overrides at all in this Stark theme. And it allows you to see what you get out of the box before you start applying Garland to it. Because Garland modifies it quite a bit. So it's not a really good way to look at what Core is doing, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah. In our workshops, we talk a lot about what Drupal wants to do. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, it's like, okay, well, I can sit down as a CSS, HTML, web design person, and I can kind of do whatever. I can use different layout systems. I can do content first. I can do the sidebar blocks first. You know, if I'm skilled enough, I can kind of do whatever. And so at that level, you might as well just sort of see what Drupal wants to do, what Drupal recommends. And the Stark theme, I think, is that, which is also helpful for Drupal, like module developers and, you know, people working on Core to sort of have an idea of what Drupal wants to do, because Garland doesn't necessarily represent what Drupal wants to do lots of times. Yeah. Did everyone disconnect or did I just blow your minds?
You blew my mind.
Yeah. It's that time in the podcast. You get about, like, I don't know, 45 minutes in, and
yeah, the thing about this is that this debate between, you know, starter kit, you know, something extensible versus, you know, Garland, you know, goes all the way back to Drupal 5 being released, and there was a debate back then about, you know, do we want to have something that's really easy to you know, build upon, or we want to have something that's really pretty. And the decision at the time, which was the right one, was to have, you know, a pretty theme in there. And the, you know, we didn't worry at all about the fact that people were going to start hacking Garland. And you can tell by looking at the code. So not easy to figure out.
Yeah.
How many did you offend there?
I guess, I mean, just to say it straight out. So first of all, and Nate, correct me here, but basically Garland has gotten an overhaul for Drupal 7. And it's a much better citizen. But in Drupal 6 and Drupal 5, for that matter, it's just well, there's a lot of stuff like the color picker stuff that it does, the color module support, that just make things really confusing. And there's even some, like, not good practice kinds of stuff in there.
Yeah, there's just a terrible amount of, like, there's, like, I think there's, like, the 15-line segment of just straight PHP code right in the middle of page tpl.php. And
I stress this every time we teach a course. That's not what TPL.php files are made for. They're made for laying out your HTML, and you're just printing out dynamic bits of content. They're not made for large chunks of logic, like Garland included in Drupal 6. And on top of that, you really shouldn't be doing a lot of function calls, or if possible, no function calls in your TPL.php files. And Garland, right at the very top of the, you know, right at the top of the file, it's got PHP template body classes, which is like wrong on three levels because it's a function call. It's using a PHP template prefix instead of Garland, and it's completely unnecessary because there's already a core body classes that it could have just printed out, but instead it's printing out its own variation on it, which is exactly the same except it renamed it like left sidebar instead of left, something similar like that, like a really minor difference, right. And that sort of thing is just it'll just drive you nuts, and it's why Garland is not something you want to start with, because you'd think as our default theme it'd be, you know, exuding all of the best practices, but in Drupal 6 it's really I don't know. It's terrible. you'll find much better. You'll find much better code in Contrib than you will in Core when it comes to theming in Drupal 6.
Yeah. So the reason for that was, of course, Garland was available in Drupal 5, and when we got this awesome new theme layer, they just sort of did the minimal amount of work they needed to Garland to actually make it continue to work, and they didn't. Nobody looked at it because it, you know, still looked the same, you know, and
right.
That's where it stayed.
Huh.
Yeah.
So it's really a Drupal 5 theme that's, you know, hiding in Core, right. In Drupal 6.
It's not hiding. That's the problem. If we could tuck it away in the corner, that would be good. Yeah. I mean, it looks yeah. good. We give it a hard time. It's just fine. Go ahead, Martin.
No. We're not making it easy for new themes to come into this world of this developer oriented world. We're giving them a theme with all kinds of CSS, not hacky stuff, but all kinds of tricks in it. That's my problem with the Garland theme is, and actually getting them to. Well, the question is that I'm always getting for new theme is like, well, okay, so where do I start? So, of course, I'm pointing them to you and John's theme, the Zen theme, and say, well, go down that road because they can at least maybe understand some of the thing that's going on because there's so many stuff going on. So what I'm really hoping that we're going to achieve with Drupal 7 is getting new themers some good starting points without setting them down to the, well, you just have to go into Drupal.org and go down to the contrib folders and find these themes and where should you just start?
Scroll all the way down to Z.
So, yeah, exactly. The last page.
Yeah, and so we're actually sending people out to this whole hunt for the Holy Grail, and when they're figuring out that, well, you should just write it yourself and understand PHP and figure out the whole community and figure out everything yourself, then I'm pretty shocked that so many of that we actually could fill a room with themers and designers in Washington DC. Which I would just have to say to John that I was kind of sorry that we kind of attacked him that way in DC, but he got his ass kicked. I can say this. So I've never seen anything like
hours.
Yeah. I had to buy him drinks after. I was like, I'm sorry. No, I guess that's some of the stuff that some of us have been really frustrated about. And when you're finally figuring out that, hey, I'm in a room of a bunch of other people who feel the same way as I do, and it's getting pissed off that we have like 10,000 of CSS files put into the whole layer. I was like, yeah, I'm finally in a room with other people who actually understand my pain.
Yeah.
And don't just
run
with it.
Well, I think a lot of designers, I mean, aside from web designers, just designers, you know, they want to keep things clean. They want to use just the minimum that they need to use to accomplish the art that they want to accomplish. And Drupal's loosely coupled nature, the fact that you can just drop in these modules and they do all these things, means that it's just it's more like junk art or something. You know, you go to the junkyard and come home with these just giant piles of stuff and then sort of like, oh, maybe we can make something pretty out of it. And for a lot of you know, theme developers, designers, Drupal designers, web designers, I mean, the fact that you open up the page and, you know, they say, here, you know, make this pretty, and you look and there's 18 CSS files on the page.
This is an extension of, you know, this designer mentality of having very clean designs, and they go and look at the HTML and they want to have that be an extension of their design, and this goes all the way back to, you know, like Dreamweaver 1.0, you know, where people started using it and they're like, ooh, look at the way the HTML gets spit out by default in Dreamweaver, and then they would go in and change it and modify it and make it a lot more lean, right? And that's continued throughout these years. People are rolling their own HTML. They want it to be just as clean on the backside, the HTML source, as they want the design to be on the front side. And it's sort of like a badge of honor when they show their sites off.
Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah. and the thing is that for me and a bunch of designers is that once we got into Drupal, we realized that it was a lot easier to sort of bend with the system, you know, and let it do the HTML for the most part, and then just apply the CSS on top of it in order to make the design look clean and the, you know, the code, the PHP code, be clean, and not worry about how clean the HTML is so much, because it makes for a lot quicker design theming process.
So you're basically just saying, get over it.
Yep.
It's like, get over it. It's not going to be as pretty.
I'm trying not to comment on this because I'm going to start.
You're not going to be featured on a list apart.
Well, I have my Viking helm here somewhere and my axe somewhere else. Chop some heads. No, I guess it's two different ways of looking into the design, the HTML, and the whole Drupal thing. And as I was talking with John about, and we talked a bunch about times, is that. That fortunately, or hopefully, in Drupal 7, we can get both approaches to it. So people like me who want to have this really, really clean HTML can get that. And does anybody really even hear me right now?
Yeah.
Okay. No. So my hope is that people who has this approach as I have, that I want to have so clean HTML so I can actually wear it as my underwear. that we can have it that way, and people like John who's fine with a bunch of CSS classes floating all around, all of kind of crabs in every corner. So the designers can come in and themers can come in with that approach that they kind of like to have and shouldn't kind of trying to change the normal working approach to it, so we can get best of both worlds. And I think that's possible, but it's got a long way. At least we're now talking about the problems that when I came into Drupal like 3 years ago, people were looking at me like, you're doing stuff in Illustrator and Photoshop, so be quiet. The grown-ups are talking. So.
Yeah, I think DrupalCon DC was a big wake-up call for a lot of module developers. It certainly was for me, in that, you know, I'd been so used to the way Drupal outputs its HTML and all of its classes and going with the way that's easier to develop. I had forgotten about this whole other way of, you know, making your HTML perfectly clean, because, you know, way back in the day, you know, 97, that's what I did. And I just completely forgotten about that way of doing it. And those are they're two different ways of doing things that are perfectly valid. And right now in Drupal 6, it's easier to go with let the Drupal worry about the HTML and just override where you need it. And going the method that Morton goes, it's a lot harder. It's a lot more frustrating because you're having to constantly rip out stuff. You add a new module, now I got to rip out all this stuff, you know. Whereas, you know, when I add a new module, I'm like, ooh, look at the pretty classes, you know. So.
They're
both valid approaches, and we just need to try to make D7 accomplish both.
Right.
Yeah.
it actually got so bad for me, so I ended up dropping one of the local coders here in Denmark to actually write a module for me that could rip out all the CSS files that I didn't need. So to
that end, what's the difference between a themer and a module developer? Maybe Colleen, you're a good person to answer that. I mean, like, what do you see as the differences and the similarities and like the skills that the themer particularly brings?
I think my answer is not going to be agreed upon by everybody, but I think that the developer begins or works mainly in module files and doing the bulk of the PHP work, and that the themer is in spending the bulk of their time in at least CSS files, probably TPL files, layering in HTML where needed, and doing only sort of light amounts of PHP. I think that there's people that kind of cross both of those lands, and I think that that's what's really great about. I mean, that John's one of those people. John does more PHP work than I do, for instance. But I think that that's sort of like what Morten said earlier. It's about the directories that you live within. Developers live in the module folder and themers.
I'd also like to point out that one of the things that we kept forgetting about when we talk about these, you know, what's the difference between module developers and themers? Well, there's actually sort of three domains of knowledge that you need in order to have a beautiful Drupal site. You have, you know, the coding aspect where you have your business logic and all that. Then you have the graphic design, where somebody gives you a beautiful design, whether it's in Photoshop or Illustrator or whatever, and then you have the themer sort of sitting there in the middle. It's the as Colleen said in one of her blog posts, is the bridge between those two. Domains of knowledge. I just wanted to point out, don't forget about
designer. The hinge.
Well, and that's the thing, is that in this process, right, I think we don't talk about the designer. And I think that there are oftentimes, for a while there, I mean, it was probably, 2003, 2004, I started to realize that the CSS coder was a person in and of themselves, and just building any website, right? That doing the design was one process, but then converting that into standards compliant XHTML was an art in and of itself. And oftentimes, it's an extension of that process that becomes the Drupal themer. It's understanding CSS and XHTML and sort of debugging all of that stuff, and then being able to understand Drupal enough to insert the right variables in the right places and stuff like that. But then you get into the really kind of deeper end of things with not those module people who don't even think about how things are going to look. Not only do they not think about it, they don't care. And they just try and mess it up for the rest of us.
Yeah, well, actually, I think this is a really, really good thing that we have this huge amount of brain power that's kind of sitting behind and getting all this stuff to work, and we have us guys who kind of think of the HTML and the presentation layer. That one thing that I'm hoping that we can do in the future is actually getting these two kind of left part of the brain and right part of the brain to work really, really close together. I've heard some people mocking about that. Well, at least me, I'm kind of making jokes about developers, and nobody should doubt a second that one thing, that the whole reason I was getting drawn into this Drupal world was actually because of the huge amount, the amount of awesome code and the amount of really, really good developers that we can build these sites. We can act as themers or designers. We can just build this stuff upon all this great the great code that's been built. So we should kind of getting all this stuff, all the HTML stuff, and all our knowledge of the HTML and CSS, and getting that combined with the module guys, so we can be one big happy family. Or at least try to.
Have any of you done any work with other systems like WordPress or Joomla, and how does the Drupal theming differ? I'm sort of curious. I know with WordPress, I feel like things can be a lot cleaner.
Well, WordPress is quick and quick, but if you want to do kind of complicated stuff, WordPress is good for building a blog, and to be harsh on WordPress guys, and that's it. If you want to build a big complex website with all kinds of stuff in it, meeting stuff, calendars, whatever, what have we, then Drupal is going to be a really, really good tool. And you can just actually, it's nerd Lego, to say the least. And you can build whatever you want, even as a stupid designer who don't get all that cache stuff and MySQL stuff and all that.
What I've noticed when looking at other systems is that like WordPress or movable type. I had a lot of experience with movable type back in the day. They have, you know, a lot fewer template files. And you end up with having a lot more code in your template files because that's the only way you can do certain manipulations. So in that respect, Drupal has a little bit of an advantage because you can just modify the TPLs and just change the HTML around a little bit and not have to worry about, in order to override this bit of HTML, I have to learn PHP. Well, no, you just have to copy the TPL from the, you know, modules, you know, whatever folder, and put it into your theme, and then build the theme registry. If you modify that .so file, go to admin, build themes. I'm in IRC a lot. I just answered the same question like 9 million times. Once you learn how to do those quick things, it can be a lot easier to modify in HTML and versus the other things.
Yeah. John, you're getting a little broken up there. Your connection's a little funny. I'll see what I can do to clean that up when I edit the podcast. But I think we get what you're saying.
I'll explain it again.
Yes, go find John.
You're sounding like the evil robot.
he's saying to find him in IRC. To that end, what are the IRC channels? If a person is a designer, aspiring themer, who's looking for some kindred spirits in Drupal. A lot of communication gets done in IRC channels. I really did not know much about IRC before I started working with Drupal, and now I have my IRC client that I just launch in the morning, and there it is, open all day. It's chat rooms, discussion rooms. Pound Drupal Themes is one. Drupal-Themes is one. Are there others?
Drupal Design, Pound Drupal Design. So it's Drupal-Dash Design, right?
Yeah. Pound Drupal Design is another one.
The difference between these two is that Drupal-Dash Themes is where we talk about, well, okay, how do I get my node TPL to do this? Or my page TPL is breaking up if I'm doing this. Or I had the CSS question. And the Drupal-Dash Design is more of a more free discussion area, a place where people who like design and like HTML and like CSS and stuff want to meet kindred spirits and can hang out. Just kind of like the Drupal-Dash Dev room. This is just for the people who like pretty colors.
So there's like a whole lot of different Drupal rooms.
You can visit drupal.org/IRC, and that's the listing of all of the channels and what their purposes are for.
Good.
But the topic of IRC and hanging out with kindred spirits is something really interesting for the theming community, because oftentimes as a themer, you don't get to create code that's very reusable, things that you can contribute back to the community, because a lot of things, most of the time, the theme you're designing, it contains a company's branding, and you can't exactly just go out and redistribute that branding for free and encourage other people to, you know, rip off your site. And so you have to kind of look for other venues to get in touch with
the other people that are doing the theming, because there's hundreds and hundreds or thousands and thousands of Drupal themers out there, but they're just not talking to each other because they're all stuck in their own boxes
working on
site projects.
Yeah, and oftentimes the really good ones are getting paid good money to work on big, important websites, and when they're done, they can't. I mean, legally, they can't give those themes back out right to the community. And so oftentimes their work isn't ever really seen. And they go home at the end of the day and do other things.
And it doesn't make that much sense to actually contribute a theme like that back to the community.
Right. Yes.
It would be like, okay, so now you can look like all the
well, and lots of times it's integrated with modules. It's calling module functions, and if you take it out of that website, it just won't work. You'll get errors, and
that's the hardest part about building a sub theme, which I did recently, a Zen sub theme, and it was what I was saying is that one of the sort of stressful parts for me in building a theme in general, even though it was a sub theme of Zen, was that all of the parts that I wanted to theme to show the design side of it kind of required views and CCK and all things that if you're new to Drupal and you want a nice pretty theme, I mean getting your head around CCK and views is not a small task. So it was frustrating to me that I couldn't even show off the theme because it required like four or five modules. So
that's what would be really, really nice if it was kind of easy to do an install profile. You can actually share your site. I'm still hoping that someone, maybe in Boston, will teach me that, or I should sit down and read some documentation.
So who here will be at the Boston Drupal, what are we calling it, Susan? The Design for Drupal. First of all, let's get a URL out there for people. Design, the number 4, Drupal.org?
Yes, it's boston.designfordrupal.org, but designfordrupal.org will work.
Spelled the Prince way, like Prince would spell it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I know I'm going to be there, and I believe Jeff is going to be one of our keynote speakers.
I will. I don't know what I'm going to say yet, but it'll be fascinating, I'm sure.
Oh, it's really
for
awesome.
Me, at least.
I'm hoping to be there. Well, I've cleared my schedule so I can be there. I just need to order a flight ticket and find a place to sleep. So if somebody has a floor I can sleep at in Boston and a good bar to go to, I would be there.
Who wants to put up Morton in Boston?
We figured that out last night. Somebody's going to use their Marriott miles for you. So you've got a nice place to stay.
Awesome. Well, then mm-hmm. I'm jumping on a plane.
Woo!
No, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm all psyched, actually, about it. It's like, weekend only with designers and
I'm going to be there
that's
virtually.
Awesome.
John's going to be there virtually via satellite.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Nathan? Is Nathan going to be there? That's the
question. I think Nate's going.
Yes, I'm planning on being there.
We've got workshops. The Lullabot workshops are happening in Providence, which, for people that don't know the geography, is only about 45 miles, about 45 minutes from Boston. And we've got a workshop going on the week before, and the last 3 days of it are theming and jQuery stuff. So it kind of dovetails nicely into that. So we'll try and get all the people going to the theming and jQuery workshop, like, okay, let's go to Boston and go.
So you're going to have people all fired up to come to here
and
speak about how difficult everything is.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so,
Well, are you going to design camp.
CBS?
What was that?
There's no coincidence on the timing of Design Camp Boston and the Lullabot training series.
Yep, it was easy. We were going to be in town and, you know, just keep the motion going. Keep the party going all weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm coming.
Yeah, and that's why Morton needs to come. We already have a party venue.
There you go.
On Saturday night. And we're going to play the Drupal song over and over again.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
I found sheet music for the Drupal song online. Dimitri Gaskin
You gotta be kidding me.
This sheet music, it's a nice PDF. It's beautiful. It looks it makes it look almost legitimate.
I'm still not done laughing at the guys when you did that song first time when some said, well, that's making Drupal look like it's not a serious CMS system.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not serious at all. I'm still looking for a metal band who's going to do a Drupal song. Then I'm going to jump into the pit again.
There you go. Yeah. There's a cool remix we played on the last podcast. I don't know if you got to hear it, but there was somebody did a cool, like, just super rock version, which is nice. I think it had a guitar solo. It was good stuff.
Ooh.
Anyways.
You got to put it in the end then of this one.
It's in the last podcast. Go find it in 73. And yeah. Anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up?
Should we mention?
I think we should mention the usability stuff that's going on in D7.
Let's do that.
Oh yeah, that's.
Why don't you, John? Because you brought it up.
So you know, Mark Bolton and Lisa.
Reichelt.
There we go. They've been, you know, working on sort of redoing Drupal 7's usability and making it sort of usable rather than kind of crazy. Where the heck is this setting? Like Drupal 6 is, they've gotten to a point where we're actually seeing patches in the Drupal 7 queue. I think, you know, Webchick mentioned this probably last time on the podcast. And one of the things that we're trying out is there's actually a new theme called the D7 UX theme, and we're gonna. It's really hard to test usability patches because they have to learn how to, apply patches to and download Drupal 7 core. And we're going to try to make that a little bit easier by applying some of these patches to this theme. And that way you don't have to apply all the patches. You just have to get Drupal 7 up and running, which is not that hard right now. And then you just add this contrib theme in to test all the stuff that's in the Drupal 7 queue. So that's interesting. Right now, if you go and download D7 UX, there's nothing in there yet. This is literally like 2 days ago. So you're going to be disappointed and thinking, oh, it looks the same. Because it does. But, that's the idea. And I'm sure that if this theme works out, we're going to hear a lot more about it sort of on the main D7 UX website.
Yeah. How do you feel like that will affect... design in and around Drupal? I do.
is that a leading question?
I guess it was a leading question. It was an honest question, but then I realized I had an answer. I think the usability and design oftentimes go in hand in hand. I mean, it's sort of usability and design together become user experience. It's how people feel about the website. Is it easy? Is it pretty? Is it nice? Is it fun? I think that as Drupal gets to be easier to use, there will be more people, more design-oriented people who will feel like Drupal is not angry at them.
Bingo.
And I think I've said this before, but we get the new design up on Drupal.org, we'll have that effect as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When
designers not feeling like Drupal is angry at them. Well, maybe that should be, Susan, maybe that should be the title of my keynote at Design Camp is Why is Drupal Angry at Me?
But people loves you. Big crowd.
Yeah.
It's that little alien scowling at me.
I think there's a lot of hope in the future.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, we even got to have our own like kind of track in Paris too.
Yeah.
The DrupalCon in Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I only speak Viking, so it's going to be something from Ash. No, actually it's the greatest thing happened actually in DC that when we were all fired up in our own self-righteous revolution, theming revolution, people were talking about, well, we need to have our kind of our own track at the next DrupalCon. And I walked the next morning, hungover as always at a DrupalCon, to the French guys and say, well, so the next DrupalCon we need to have our own track. And I was getting all fired up, and they just answered blankly, yeah, Morten, and you're gonna make sure it's gonna happen. And then they walked away. So I got kind of pawned on that one. But we got a bunch of things in the planning right now, but and more will unravel later on. But I think that's going to be really, really good. And it's not, we're not trying to kind of keeping away from everybody else, because one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is that we need really the design community to come into the Drupal community, so we're not going to be like the black sheep of the family. So the communications between module developers and themers and designers and people who do documentation and people using Drupal is going to be in the whole big fun-loving family of Drupal geeks.
Yay!
People are gonna look at us. Well, my girlfriend still don't understand what I'm doing. She still thinks I'm just a geek. And when I'm telling her, well, they actually think I'm signed on this community, she's like, yeah, whatever. So, we can't run from it anyway, so we just keep it in the family. But that's gonna be really, really good. And it's Paris, goddammit, so.
Yay!
It's just got built-in fun. It's Paris.
Mm. Yeah.
Right on. You can always go to the Louvre if you're not getting enough design love at
oh, no. Again, Jesus.
All right. Well, it's I know it's late for some of you, and you haven't done enough drinking yet. So let's just call it.
I'm heading out in a bit to watching Fire Breathing Go Go Girls. So
nice.
There you go. I'm having lunch.
Me too. Well,
Jeff, there's the big difference between being the king and just being Jeff Robbins' yes. rock star.
Well, I might do a little fire breathing.
Yeah,
can't promise.
I'm looking forward to that. It's awesome.
All right, cool. Well, thank all of you for coming on the podcast. I think this was interesting. I look forward to more discussions of these types, and I think it's really great that we're starting to hear a lot more from designers and design-oriented people in the Drupal community. And really excited, Susan, about the design camp you're throwing in Boston. Again, that URL is boston.designfordrupal.org, and the four is spelled the Prince way with the number and not F-O-R. It's the number four. And yeah, you can go there, sign up, and we'll be there. Thanks a lot, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Jeff. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello.